So today we have very good fortune of having His Grace Adigadadhar Prabhu with us, and he will be enlightening us on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Verse Number 11. Prabhuji, please take over the call. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Ishwari Kumari Mataji. Before we begin, I would like to share a very, very good news with all of you. Should we share it in the beginning of the class or in the end of the class? I think in the end of the class there will be more devotees. But let me just share the news. So the good news is that today in D-Land, Florida, Ishwari Kumari Mataji's good husband, Amit Prabhu, who is a very sincere devotee, he has been chanting Brahma Murta Japa ever since he came to Krishna consciousness, very humble, service-oriented devotee. And today he is getting officially connected with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in the family of Srila Prabhupada by receiving Harinam initiation from His Holiness Srila Bhakti Karu Swami Maharaj. So please offer your heartfelt blessings on Amit Prabhu. Offer your prayers for Amit Prabhu so that he always remains a source of great pleasure to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So, Hari Bol.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for sharing this. And 3 times Hari Bol for Amit Prabhuji. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
I would like to thank each and every devotee for their prayers. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Yes, it is my great fortune to share this good news with all of you. Amit Prabhu is very dear to us and he is a very, very important leader in the Atlanta congregation. He is a leading book distributor, very, very committed to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So all glories to Amit Prabhu. And all glories to His service.
He is just a servant. We are just a servant.
Hare Krishna. So we will start with our Bhagavatam class on this happy news.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We will be studying 3 verses today. Canto 4th, Chapter 7th, verse number 11, 12 and 13. So verse number 11.
Bhavastavaya krita dhira nashakno danuragatah utkanthyat bhashpakalaya samparetam sutam smaran.
Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: King Daksha wanted to offer prayers to Lord Shiva, but as he remembered the ill-fated death of his daughter Sati, his eyes filled with tears, and in bereavement his voice choked up, and he could not say anything. Verse number 12.
Krishra samstabhya cha manaha prema vivalita sudhihi shashamsa nirvyalikena bhavinesham prajapatihi.
Translation: at this time, King Daksha, afflicted by love and affection, was very much awakened to his real senses. With great endeavor, he pacified his mind, checked his feelings, and with pure consciousness began to offer prayers to Lord Shiva. Last verse for today, verse number 13.
Daksha uvacha भूयाननुरग अहो भवता कृतो मे दण्डस् त्वया मयि भृतो यदपि प्रलब्धः न ब्रह्म बन्धुश्च मां भगवन् अवज्ञा तुभ्यं हरेश्च कुट एव धृतव्रतेषु.
Translation. King Daksha said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me. You and Lord Vishnu never neglect even useless, unqualified brahmanas. Why then should you neglect me who am engaged in performing sacrifices?" Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Daksha felt defeated, he knew that his punishment was simply the great mercy of Lord Shiva. He remembered that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are never neglectful to the brahmanas, even though the brahmanas are sometimes unqualified. According to Vedic civilization, a descendant of a brahmana family should never be heavily punished. This is exemplified in Arjuna's treatment of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was the son of a great brahmana, Dronacharya, and yet, in spite of his having committed the great offense of killing all the sleeping sons of the Pandavas, for which he was condemned even by Lord Krishna, Arjun excused him by not killing him because he happened to be the son of a brahmana. The word Brahma Bandhushu used here is significant. Brahma Bandhu means a person who is born of a brahmana father but whose activities are not up to the standard of the brahmanas. Such a person is not a brahmana but a Brahma Bandhu. Daksha proved himself to be a Brahma Bandhu. He was born of a great brahmana father, Lord Brahma, but his treatment of Lord Shiva was not exactly brahmanical. Therefore, he admitted that he was not a perfect brahmana. Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, however, are affectionate even to an imperfect brahmana. Lord Shiva punished Daksha not as one does his enemy. Rather, he punished Daksha just to bring him to his senses so that he would know that he had done wrong. Daksha could understand this and he acknowledged the great mercy of Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva towards the fallen brahmanas, including even himself. Although he was fallen, his vow was to execute the sacrifice, as is the duty of brahmanas. And thus he began his prayers to Lord Shiva.
Om Adhyanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागरजाता सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्णपदा सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरापुसे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। आई वुड लाइक टू हम्बली offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. Please shower your blessings upon me. I am begging you. Please shower your blessings upon me so that for the next few minutes I may be able to serve all of you and please all of you. That is my only aim, to somehow serve you. You want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? You have given me this service, this seva. Now please shower your blessings so that by the power of your blessings, Guru and Krishna will empower me to serve you. Because without the empowerment of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, I cannot serve you. And I really want to serve you and please you in such a way that our hearts become attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam and to Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his beloved devotees, who are his life and soul. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our study of Srimad Bhagavatam. What a brilliant section of Srimad Bhagavatam this is. And it is about to conclude. And then we will move to the next part, next chapter of this canto. But let us dive deep into what we are reading. Let us try to churn the nectar that our great acharyas like Sukhdeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, Maitreya Muni, all these great speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, what they are trying to give us. And this nectar is coming to us through our Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada and his followers. So Shivaji has forgiven all the demigods who had humiliated him, who had insulted him, who had neglected his beloved wife, Srimati Sati Devi. Lord Shiva, being a real Vaishnava, he is Ashutosh. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is Ashutosh. And Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So he is the greatest Ashutosh. Very easily satisfied. Just see, Nityananda Prabhu, he forgave Jagai and Madai.
even before they begged forgiveness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he was petitioned by Nityananda Prabhu, he also very quickly forgave Jagai and Madai. In fact, the afternoon that pastime took place of Madai hitting Nityananda Prabhu on his forehead, trying to kill him, that same evening in the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, Jagai and Madai, they were dancing in Sankirtan. Usually every night the Sankirtan used to take place in the house of Srivas Thakur, but that particular night Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to have the Sankirtan in the presence of Sachi Mata in his own house. So that night they did Sankirtan instead of Srivasangan. They did it at the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. In his own house, Mahaprabhu did, and he invited Jagadananda and Madhavananda, who were formerly Jagai and Madai. And Jagai and Madai were chanting and dancing in ecstasy, shoulder to shoulder, arms in arms, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. That same night, that morning, they were drunkards, they were meat eaters, they were robbers. There were all sorts of things we will not even describe. And that same evening, the Supreme Ashutosh, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were dancing with Jagai and Madai. This is Vaishnavism. This is Vaishnavism. So Lord Shiva has forgiven all the demigods headed by Daksha, who committed such severe Vaishnava Prad simply out of envy. Simply out of envy. And he has, now the head of Daksha also would have been returned by Lord Shiva, but it was already chopped off and it was thrown in the sacrificial fire and burned to ashes. So then Lord Shiva, he took the head of a goat and told them that Daksha will have the head of a goat, and it was connected and Daksha immediately came back to life by the power of the blessings of Lord Shiva. So now he had a head of a goat, but he still had his consciousness. This is the power. This is the power of Krishna. Anything is possible. To our material intelligence, it may be difficult to digest. How can a human being or a demigod who had a body of a demigod lose his head, which includes the brain? Includes the brain where we think all the memory is stored, all the intelligence is there in the brain, and then you have the head, which means you have the brain of a goat, but still you are able to offer all these beautiful prayers. You still have all the consciousness, all the memory, all the intelligence of Daksha. How is it possible? Well, that person who can create a goat, that person who can create Daksha, that person who can create 8.4 million species, that person who can create the DNA, that person can create anything. That person can create anything. If I can draw the painting, beautiful painting of a man, and I can draw the beautiful painting of a flower, then I can draw a man with the head of a flower, because I am the artist. So similarly, Krishna, who has created our mind, who has created our intelligence, who has created our bodies and the bodies of all these species, he can do anything if he wants. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. Impossible word is only there because our intelligence is limited, our sense perception is limited. So impossibility is only in our mind. It cannot limit Krishna. So Krishna did it. Lord Shiva did it. And here is Daksha with the head of a goat. But he still had the full memory. Just like Jada Bharat or Bharat Maharaj, in the form of a deer, had the consciousness, memory, and understanding, spiritual understanding of Bharat Maharaj. He had all the consciousness of Bharat Maharaj even in the body of a deer. That's why he lived near the ashrams of sadhus and simply subsisted by eating their remnants, their mahaprasad. Nalakuver and Manigreve, even in the form of a dull species like Arjuna trees, they retained the consciousness of demigods. They remembered their previous sinful activities. And this is the mercy of Krishna. He can do anything. So similarly, Daksha had the full consciousness that he had when he had the Daksha brain and the Daksha head. And he is offering these prayers. But before he could offer prayers, as soon as he regained consciousness, he remembered the death, untimely death of his beloved daughter, Srimati Sati Devi. And he became overwhelmed with emotion, and tears started flowing out of his eyes, his goat eyes. What can we learn from this, my dear friends? We can learn that sometimes we may behave harshly, or others may behave harshly with us, and our natural tendency is to hit back and prove that we are right and they are wrong. But actually, when we hit back and we see the tears in the eyes of the devotee who we hit back at, our heart should break. Yes, Daksha had acted very harshly, but we should not forget that actually everyone is a devotee. Yes, Daksha was in the mode of ignorance when he was performing the yajna because he insulted Lord Shiva. Yes, Dhruva Maharaj was in the mode of passion when he was doing all those austerities in the forest. Yes, Pritha Maharaj was in the mode of goodness when he wanted to do the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. But we are all devotees. Daksha is a devotee, Dhruva is a devotee, and Pritha Maharaj is also a devotee. You may be covered by the modes of material nature to different degrees, and we all need to be elevated. We all need to be purified. And Krishna and his devotees, like Narada Muni or Shivji or Brahmaji, in these three examples, they come and they purify us and they elevate us. Daksha was purified by Shivji, Dhruva was purified by Narada Muni, and Prithu Maharaj was purified by Brahmaji. Brahmaji told Prithu Maharaj, give up this 100th yajna. Don't do it. You think you are doing in the mode of goodness, but it is only increasing the envy of Indra. Just stop it. Sacrificing the 100th sacrifice is a sign of your sacrifice for a higher cause. Krishna will be more pleased if you do not perform the sacrifice which you are performing for his satisfaction, for his pleasure. Let Indra be. Don't bring out the worst in Indra. Take a humble position. Let him remain the greatest performer of Ashwamedha Yajnas. Don't break his record. Just give it up. And for a higher cause, Prithu Maharaj agreed. Then Brahmaji spoke these words. And immediately Lord Vishnu came down, descended, very pleased because Prithu Maharaj sacrificed his 100th sacrifice for a higher cause. And what was the higher cause? Cooperation among two devotees, Indra and Prithu Maharaj. How was Dhruva purified? He wanted a kingdom greater than his father, Maharaj Uttarapad. He wanted a kingdom greater and his grandfather, Swayambhu Manu. Material ambition, mode of passion. But Narad Muni gave him the mantra to chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And when he saw Vasudev, that same Vasudev who was in his heart, manifested in front of his eyes. And when he saw the beauty of Vasudev, all his material ambitions were gone and he was purified and he was elevated under the guidance of Narad Muni. And how was Daksha purified? By the mercy, by the punishment of Lord Shiva. Yes, Daksha had to lose his reputation. Daksha had to lose his followers, his beauty, even his head. Who likes to have the head of a goat? Can you imagine living in the high society of demigods? Such a aristocratic, such a dignified society. Everybody is very handsome, very good looking, and you have the head of a goat. Just think, the teeth of a goat, the nose of a goat, the eyes of a goat, the ears of a goat. You are going around as a goat head. Just imagine how humiliating. But that is what Daksha needed, for those ears to come out and for these beautiful prayers to come out. We should remember, no matter how harshly someone is behaving with us, we are talking about devotees, and to some extent even non-devotees. In most situations, no matter how harshly somebody has treated us, how insensitively someone has treated us, we should remember that actually everyone has a soft side to them, and Daksha's soft side became visible. And he regained consciousness, and first thing he did was he remembered the untimely death of his daughter, for which he was responsible. And he became overwhelmed. He could not speak for some time. And tears welled up in his eyes. And then when he regained his composure, he started offering these beautiful prayers. Prayer has three parts to it. When we do Vandanam at home or in the temple or anywhere, all of us, we should remember that a prayer has three parts to it. The first part is to acknowledge how fallen we are. Here Daksha is calling himself a Brahma Bandhu. Yes, I am a Brahman. I am the son of Lord Brahma. I am the Prajapati. I am known to be very expert in performing yajnas. That's why my name is Daksha. Daksha means one who is very expert. A guru is very expert. Tatra de Daksha dati vallabhasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. What is the guru? Daksha in? What is the guru expert in? Nikunjayono rati keli sedhe yayali bhir yuktira pekshaniya. In the kunjas of Vrindavan, the guru, in the forests of Vrindavan, in the groves of Vrindavan, the guru is very, very expert in facilitating the intimate leela pastimes between Radha and Krishna. Yugala Kishore. But Daksha was Daksha in performing yajnas. But this is what it took to purify him. And then he's offering these beautiful prayers to Lord Shiva, which are forever recorded in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Few days ago was the disappearance day I think it was Wednesday, was the disappearance day of a very, very great Vaishnava. Can anyone tell what is the name of this Vaishnava? So today is Sunday, just 4 days ago, was the disappearance day of a great Vaishnava. His name is Vakreshwar Pandit. And Vakreshwar Pandit, what he teaches us is very much related with what we are discussing today, my dear friends. Very much related. And just before that, few days before Vakreshwar Pandit's disappearance day was the disappearance day of the 7th Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuganvarayate. This is the Pranati Mantra of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is considered the 7th Goswami. So for 15 minutes or 10 minutes, we will discuss something from the life, the glorious life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is connected with today's verses that we studied from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. And then for the next 15 minutes, we will discuss something from the life of Vakreshwar Pandit, with your blessings and permission. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur first. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was posted in Jagannath Puri, many beautiful pastimes took place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in this world in the year 1938. And he was posted in Jagannath Puri sometime around the year. So 1838, Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in this world. And in the year 1870, 1870, sometime around that time, he was posted in Jagannath Puri. So how old was he? Just 32 years old. Younger than most of us. 32 years old, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had completed his education. He received his training and he was working in the judiciary system. This was before he became a full magistrate. But still he was a powerful government servant. And as a deputy magistrate, he was posted in Jagannath Puri. And many beautiful pastimes took place. But there is one very, very instructive pastime which is exactly parallel to what we are studying in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he came to Jagannath Puri, he saw many, many deficiencies and problems in Jagannath Puri. He noticed that the pujaris of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra were not following the principles of Vaishnavism. They were eating fish and other things. He noticed that the offering standard, the bhoga offering to Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, the standards had significantly gone down under the British rule. Significantly gone down. Because British were collecting so much taxes, there were so many restrictions, and the service was really declining. Even the punctuality of service, everything was declining in quality and quantity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very pained to see this. So he spoke to the pujaris, the pandas of Jagannath Puri. And because he was so devotional, he had so much bhakti for Jagannath, and he was so well educated and influential, he was able to make an impact in the hearts of the Pandas. He told them, please, this is Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. Let us worship him nicely. These are the standards. Let's try to follow them nicely. And you are all leaders. You are the pujaris of Jagannath, direct servants of Jagannath. Yadi yad acharati shreshtas tattad evete rojana. You have to be very careful about your behavior. People are looking up to you. So please, follow the principles of Vaishnavism. And they took it to heart, and under the guidance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they started following. Then in the courtyard of Jagannath Puri temple, every evening, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would give a class on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the place where he would sit, that was called Bhakti Mandap. Because there were other places where discourses used to go on, but they were given by Mayavadi speakers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not like to associate with Mayavadis. So he started sitting in a separate location in the courtyard of Jagannath Puri temple, and he would give his classes. Very soon his popularity increased, and many people who used to earlier sit in the Sabha of the Mayavadis, they switched and they started coming and sitting with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's influence, his popularity, people who were following him, they increased exponentially. He became very prominent, and he did not compromise on the standards. He was uncompromising. Uncompromising in his personal sadhana and uncompromising in the standards. This created lot of followers, lot of admirers, but at the same time some envy also. One day the king of Puri, along with his dozen bodyguards and followers and servants, was circumambulating Jagannath Puri temple, and he just barged into the assembly of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in the Bhakti Mandap. And this created a great disturbance, and everyone was disturbed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being uncompromising, he corrected the king of Puri. He told him, "You may be king of a small piece of land, but Jagannath and Krishna, they are the kings and proprietors of all the universes. Jagannath, aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate. It is Krishna, mataha parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam itam protam sutre mani gana eva." This is Krishna. Please be respectful to Krishna's Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna. Be respectful to his devotees. And the king immediately realized that what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is 100% supported by Shastric Praman, by evidence. So he had to apologize in front of everyone. And he continued with what he was doing. But this irritated the king a lot. And then what happened was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the deputy magistrate, and the king of Puri, he misappropriated 80,000 rupees. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur found out about this illegal financial dealings of the king of Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought it up, and he chastised the king again, and he told him that as a punishment, I will give you a spiritual punishment. You have to give 52 offerings of bhoga. So Jagannath gets 56 bhog, 56 offerings, that is different. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, you have to make separate 52 offerings every single day to Jagannath Baldev Subhadra and feed the Vaishnavas as a punishment, as a penalty for this illegal dealing of money of 80,000 rupees. So because he was a deputy magistrate and he passed that law, the king of Puri had to follow, and he had to make 52 offerings of bhoga to Jagannath Baldev Subhadra every day, very opulent offerings. And over a period of some time, this completely depleted the treasury of the king of Puri. So the king of Puri became very upset with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was known as Kedarnath Datta at that time. And the king of Puri, he decided that I have to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hare Krishna. Just imagine, my dear friends, the king of Puri is a devotee. Every day he is coming and taking darshan of Jagannath. He's sweeping the road before Ratha Yatra every year. He is the descendant of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Just imagine. In the year 1872 or 73, this happened. And this king is a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a pure devotee. And this king has decided to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he thought that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very prominent person in Jagannath Puri. He is the deputy magistrate. He is popular, well known, and very influential. I cannot just get him murdered like that. Otherwise everyone will suspect me, because just recently he has passed this judgment against me, so people will suspect that there is some foul play. So I have to use some other means to chastise and punish and destroy and kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the king of Puri, he did little research. How can I harm Bhaktivinoda Thakur? And he found some tantric people who were expert in black magic. And they told him that we can do a particular yajna which will kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this yajna has to go on for one full month. Very complicated yajna. We have to do a lot of things, we have to do for a lot of procedures, a lot of protocol. And at the end of 30 days, when the final offering of ghee is put into that fire, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 100% guarantee, will drop dead. And these tantric pujaris had done this yajna previously. And it works every single time. They were sure about it. They had killed people. They had harmed people by doing this yajna. There are different grades of this puja. You can do certain puja just to make a person sick, just to make your enemy fall sick. And the biggest type of yajna is you do it properly and you can even get that person to die. You can actually kill a person with this black magic, with this tantric puja. So the king was very excited. He said, yes, this is what we want to do. It was called the royal conspiracy. And it had to be done very secretly so that nobody comes to know. So in the personal house, in the palace of the Raja, in the palace of the king, in a very secret location, without telling anybody, the king employed this black magic tantric people. And he started the yajna with the intention of killing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. By this time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 4 children. His wife was Bhagwati Devi. He had rented a house on Grand Road and he was living very close to Jagannath Puri temple. Very efficient magistrate, very strong in his sadhana. He would chant japa for 2.5 hours every morning. He would read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagwat, Srimad Bhagwatam, the Shad Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, every single day for around 4 to 5 hours. And every evening he would give a lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam in Jagannath Puri temple. Every evening he would take darshan of Jagannath. Every day he would eat Jagannath Prasad. And he had deities in his home, he would worship them. But until now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not have a guru. And he was praying to Jagannath to give him a guru. This was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great devotee. And here is the king of Puri performing a yajna to kill him just because he was infected with envy and anger. Hare Krishna. So he did the yajna properly, very secretly. And at the end of 30 days, when the final oblation of ghee was put into the sacrificial fire, right there in the palace of the king of Puri, his only son dropped dead. The son of the king of Puri dropped dead, and nothing happened to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes that Jagannath saved me. There was a royal conspiracy to kill me, but Jagannath was on my side. So he protected me. And that is where Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes from his deep realization. Rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. And avashya rakshibe Krishna. Definitely Krishna will protect his devotee. That is Krishna's vow. Pratigyatava Govinda name bhakta pranashyati iti samsmritya samsmritya pranam dharyam mamyam. It is the promise of Govinda that my devotee will not perish. This is the reaction we get of if we commit Vaishnava Prada. This is the reaction we get if we try to destroy another Vaishnava. Just see, the king of Puri, he is a Dhamvasi, he is living in Puri, he is in the family of Vaishnavas, aristocratic family, seeing Jagannath every day, eating Jagannath Prasad every day, and the blessings of so many Jagannath Puri Vasis, Dhamvasis, he is himself a Dhamvasi. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was not even a Dhamvasi in that sense. He was just a government employee going from one place to another wherever he was transferred. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur had a pure heart. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a very advanced Vaishnava. And when the king of Puri tried to harm him, he finished. His only son died as a reaction. Just like Daksha lost his dear daughter, Sati Devi, as we are studying in today's verses. Vaishnava Prad, really, it chokes the bhakti. We get no taste in japa, we get no taste in reading Bhagavatam. It's just very dangerous. It chokes our bhakti. You know what is choking? Stress your throat. When you cannot breathe, there is no ventilation, there is no oxygen. It just chokes. Why? Because whatever vitality, whatever oxygen, whatever fresh air we are getting in our bhakti is because of the mercy that is flowing through our parampara. And when we commit Vaishnava Aparad, we are constricting, we are stopping the flow of that mercy. That's why we suffocate. You beg forgiveness from that devotee, you glorify that devotee. Ah, you have just released the strangulation. You have just released the pressure. And now again there is free ventilation. There is free flow of oxygen. You can breathe again. That is Vaishnava Prada. It's very uncomfortable. Therefore, we have to be very careful. Now we are running out of time, but I want to glorify Vakreshwar Pandit. Did anyone speak about Vakreshwar Pandit in the last week?
No,
any of the exalted speakers? Okay, so is it okay if we speak?
Yes, I think.
Okay, so I will try to keep it brief, but we would like to talk about, or should... what is the time? It's almost 8:15. Let us talk about Vakreshwar Pandit. It's a Sunday. I will not speak for more than 10 to 15 minutes. So Vakreshwar Pandit, he is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he grew up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sri Navadvip Dham. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do kirtan, he would dance on the streets of Navadvipa, on the banks of Ganga, in the daytime. And at night, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do prema sankirtana in Srivasa Angan, again Vakreshwar Pandit was there. And he would dance. He would dance like anything. Once Vakreshwar Pandit danced in a kirtan continuously for 72 hours, 3 days, non-stop, day and night, without any break. And he was so enthusiastic that even the devotees who were leading the kirtan, who were playing the mridang and kartal in the sankirtan, they also were empowered by his enthusiasm. And everyone continued for 72 hours continuously. That is how much Vakreshwar Pandit loved to dance in sankirtan. There are 4 devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who worshipped him in 4 different ways. Would you like to know? 4 devotees who worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 4 intimate different ways. First one is Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri is an incarnation of Uddhava. Uddhava, Krishna's intimate associate, Krishna's intimate friend, Krishna's intimate cousin, Krishna's intimate minister, trusted minister in Dwarka. That Uddhava of Dwarka incarnated as Paramananda Puri in Gaur Leela. And Paramananda Puri worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by meditating upon him. Paramananda Puri would chant his japa, and while chanting japa, he would meditate on the beautiful form of Gaura Sundar. That was his method of worship. Because Paramananda Puri was, from a worldly standpoint, superior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Paramananda Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, all these exalted devotees, they were disciples of Madhavendra Puri, Brahmananda Bharati. They were all god brothers of Ishwar Puri, and they were all disciples of Shripad Madhavendra Puri. So because Paramananda Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he was on the same level as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, Ishwar Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always very respectful towards Paramananda Puri. So Paramananda Puri could not openly go and worship Mahaprabhu, so he would worship Mahaprabhu in his mind. So Paramananda Puri offered his love to Mahaprabhu through meditation. Second, Swarup Damodar Goswami offered his love to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan. He would sing so beautifully, bhajans and kirtans, that they would completely charm the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Goswami worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Harinam Sankirtan. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is an incarnation of Lalita Sakhi. Then we have the third exalted devotee, and that is Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Namami Bhakta Shaktikam in the Panchatattva Mantra. This Bhakta Shakti is Ladini Shakti, is Gadadhar Pandit, Srimati Radharani. So Gadadhar Pandit worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. The same scripture that we are studying, my dear friends, today, Srimad Bhagavatam, was what our Gadadhar Pandit used to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reading to him, reciting to him Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fourth devotee, special devotee, who worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very specific way, was Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vakreshwar Pandit worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by dancing in Harinam Sankirtan. Dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. Mahaprabhu kirtana nritya gita vaditra madhyan manasorasena romancha kampa shruta angabhajo vande guru shri charanaravindam. In Mahaprabhu Sankirtan, nritya, Mahaprabhu Kirtana, Nritya Gita. One of the symptoms of a Guru, one of the divine attributes and qualities of Guru Maharaj is that the Guru Maharaj dances in ecstasy in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan. And he exhibits all type of, all sorts of ecstatic symptoms, like tears flowing from his lotus eyes, getting romance, his hair standing on end. All these ecstatic symptoms manifest in the divine body of Shri Guru when he is absorbed dancing in Harinam Sankirtan as established by Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vakreshwar Pandit was the personification of this verse of Shikshashtakam, of Gurudevashtakam by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vakreshwar Pandit exemplified this verse. He would dance, he would go in ecstasy, he would chant while dancing, he would sing Krishna's names while dancing. His hair would stand on end, he would start crying, his limbs would start trembling. Sometimes he would fall down unconscious in samadhi. He was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day in Srivas Angan, as Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing in ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was leading the kirtan. Can you imagine, my dear friends? This is Srivas Angan. All the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are there, like Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Shivananda Sen, everyone is there. And Vakreshwar Pandit is dancing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is leading the kirtan. And Vakreshwar Pandit tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he is dancing in Harinam Sankirtan that, Mahaprabhu, give me 10,000 Gandharvas to lead kirtan, to sing kirtan, so that I can dance and dance and dance and dance in ecstasy eternally. That will make me happy. Just dancing in Harinam Sankirtan. Give me 10,000 Gandharvas, because Gandharvas are specially empowered by Krishna to sing. Therefore we sometimes say like that, that, oh, this devotee sings so well, so nicely, sings like a Gandharva. So Vakreshwar Pandit said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give me 10,000 Gandharvas so I can keep dancing in Harinam Sankirtan. That will make me happy. And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so pleased with Vakreshwar Pandit. He says, Vakreshwar, you are a wing. You are my wing. There is no one like you. If I had another devotee of your caliber, then I would have two wings and then I would be able to fly in the sky. But because you are one of your kind, there's no one else like you. I only have one wing and you are my wing, and I cannot fly with one wing. That's why I'm not able to fly. But if I had another devotee like you, I would be flying. This is the glory of Vakreshwar Pandit. This is how dear Vakreshwar Pandit was to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this Vakreshwar Pandit is a combined incarnation of Aniruddha, who's part of the Chaturviva. Vasudeva Shankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha. This Aniruddha came as Vakreshwar Pandit. And also one of the Ashtasakis, the eight principal friends of Srimati Radharani, Punga Vidya Sakhi. Punga Vidya Sakhi also incarnated as Vakreshwar Pandit. This is the glory of Vakreshwar Pandit. And Vakreshwar Pandit went to Jagannath Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas because he could not bear separation. And he lived in the house of Kashi Mishra with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gambhira. And right next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence, Gambhira, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made arrangements with Kashi Mishra to give us a separate room for Vakreshwar Pandit, where Vakreshwar Pandit lived. And Vakreshwar Pandit's worshipable deities are Radha Kanta. And he would worship Radha Kanta in that room, in Kashi Mishra's house. And even to this day, the beautiful deity of Radha Kanta is being worshipped in Jagannath Puri. And every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the morning would go, after doing his snan and his morning bhajan, he would go, after doing his sadhana, Mahaprabhu would go to take darshan of Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, every morning. And after taking darshan, he would come out, and in the courtyard of Jagannath Puri temple and outside, he would do Harinam Sankirtan every single day. Every single day in Jagannath Puri. And Vakreshwar Pandit would dance. Would dance. And this Vakreshwar Pandit gave his mercy to Devananda Pandit, who had committed Vaishnava Aparadha. Krishna Bhakti Haiku. He gave that blessing to Devananda Pandit. And by the power of Vakreshwar Pandit's blessings, Devananda Pandit got purified. He got forgiven for his Vaishnava Pran. We don't have time. I would love to. I'm wanting to discuss this pastime in detail, Devananda Pandit's, but maybe some other day, because today we have run out of time. But suffice it to say that what we are discussing in today's verse about Vaishnava Pran, Vakreshwar Pandit gave mercy to Devananda Pandit. And by that mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, when he came to Kulia, which is the Aparad Bhanjanera path, the place where all the aparads are forgiven, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did forgive Devananda Pandit simply because he had received the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit and he had served Vakreshwar Pandit. So this is what we can learn from this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad means beautiful. So Bhagavatam is beautiful. That's why it is Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the beautiful lessons that we can learn and try to practice them in our life. We all fail. I fail. I make mistakes. I am rude. I lose my temper. I act out of envy. I act out of anger. We all make mistakes, because we are all conditioned souls. But Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that we can come together and inspire each other. Sometimes correct each other. But we have to inspire each other to stay on the right path, become purified, and go closer and closer and closer to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga together. So these were some of the thoughts that came in relationship to these verses. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Vakreshwar Pandit ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai. Vaishnav Thakur ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving the same kind of incidents about Venus. Really, the same like that I was doing Yatnya, and that thing was also doing Yatnya. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for nice pastimes about this initiation that you took us to the Mayapur and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and everything was dancing. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Very wonderful class, and especially the stories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vakreshwar Pandit. And one question, Prabhuji, you mentioned about that Vakreshwar Pandit is a personification of one verse. What was that verse, Prabhuji?
Thank you. Is this Anil Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Anil Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. So yes, Vakreshwar Pandit, his method of worshipping Mahaprabhu was to dance. Is that what your question is, Prabhu? What was his method of worship?
Yes. So you also mentioned he is the personification of a verse, one particular.
Oh, yeah. He's personification of the second verse of Gurudev Ashtakam, which is Mangalarti. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasora Sena Romancha Kampa Shutaranga Bhajo Vande Guruha Shri Charanara Vindam. The second verse. Vakreshwar Pandit is a personification, okay, because he used to dance like that in ecstasy in Harinam Sankirtan.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. That's what was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, that is. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, also Rishikesh class, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful class, and especially whenever you give the class, you always cover the appearance and disappearance of the Vaishnava. It's so nice, so really, really got to hear from you that if any Vaishnava devotee's appearance and disappearance is there, you can just dedicate whole class for them, I think. I don't know if other devotees agree, but I'm very eager to hear from you, Prabhu. Very nice you narrated. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Is this Anjana Gopika Mataji?
Yes, she is. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for your kind words of encouragement. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. If there is anything that you appreciate, it's all because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Guru and Gauranga. But thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. One more question I had was, you mentioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped differently by four different people. Paramananda Puri and Sarup Damodar, Gadadhar Pandit and Vakreshwar Pandit. So they are only, there are many other devotees also. Is there a particular reason why we pointed out these four people or four types of worship, or yeah, go ahead.
No, the reason is only, Prabhu, because recently in the last 2 weeks, three devotees, have made their disappearance day. So it was Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day on the same day as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, which was roughly 1.5 week ago, or 2 weeks ago. It was Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day. Then it was also on last weekend, I think it was also the disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was one of the four devotees we discussed. And 4 days ago was the disappearance of Vakreshwar Pandit. So in that context, I made that connection. That
okay. Okay, now it's all making sense, Guruji. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's always very nice to hear the way you narrate the stories, Guruji. Very wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hey.
Hare Krishna, Shamagori Mataji, if there are no more comments and corrections, then if it's okay with you, we can end the class now.
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your wonderful.
Yes, class. And Mataji, just one, before we end, let's all one offer our prayers for Amit Prabhu. He is getting initiated today. From his
Guru
is Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So please let's pray for him. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnava, Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya, Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha, Sitanam Pavani, Vaishnavi Bhevacha, Anant Koti Vaishnava Bhevacha.